Blog Talk Radio.
Michael, eles não ligam pra gente.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, dear Nigga down here,
brothers and packs done, plus everybody's high, too doped up to ask why. Watching our own downfall, witness the end. It's like we don't believe in God, cause we living in sin. I asked my homie on the block why he strapped, he laughed, pointed his pistol at the cop car, passed the blast. It's just another murder, nobody mourns no more. My teardrops getting bigger, but can't figure what I'm crying for. Is it the miniature caskets, little babies, victims of a strike from drug dealers gone crazy? Maybe it's just the drugs, business of how the block was. Crack came and it was strange how it rocked. Perhaps the underlying facts they hide explain genocide. It's when we ride on our own kind. What is it we all fear? Reflections in the mirror. We can't escape fate. The end is getting nearer. Who do you believe in? I put my faith in God, blessed and still breathing. And even though it's hard, that's who I believe in. Before I'm leaving, the mask and the grieving. Who do you believe in? Who do you believe in? I put my faith in God, blessed and still breathing. And even though it's hard, that's who I believe in. Before I'm leaving, the mask and the grieving.
Sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world, millions of despairing men, women, and little children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate. Only the unloved hate. The unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery, fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world.
decent world that will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power, but they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
All right. Did you miss me in my Vornell Hill voice? Oh, you know what day it is, y'all. I know what I say. It's Tuesday, y'all. Woo! I was on a little hiatus for a minute. I had to step away because sometimes fighting crime just it builds up. Just makes you just the tension get heavy. So I took my little hiatus, you know, and I appreciate all the love, all the people saying, when are you going to do your show? When are you coming back? You know, I appreciate that. And you are on, if you don't know, you are on live with the national spokesman for your Black Panther for Justice. Not your new Black Panther. You better not call us no damn new Black Panther. Your Black Panther for Justice. I speak the truth with Antonio O'Regan. Fresh off the Million Man. Not Million Man. Not Million Slick Heads. Not Million Comb Over March. But the Million Mass March. Shout-out to Anonymous. Y'all know how I do on this show. Shout-out to Anonymous.
Shout-out to Anonymous.
Shout-out to my comrades and the Black Panther for Justice, our great chairman, Brother Ishmael Sebag. All of my comrades in the party that fight with me. Shout-out to the ones I met over the weekend and over the trip in D.C., the Panthers for Self-Defense. I mean, we're going to get into that, but you guys, if you've been listening, you're pretty much familiar with that clip. That's the message to humanity. And I just want to dive right into it. I really don't have news and notes for you this afternoon because it's such a strong personal show for me. I felt like that was my personal pilgrimage. You know, it wasn't Mecca, but it was the capital. I mean, it was unity. It was color. It was beautiful. It was crazy. Whose street? Our street. Whose street? The ones that know now, they know what we're talking about. I mean, it is just, we got to do a recap. Some of my favorite things was, as I was talking, I had to bring up, you know, as we surround that news truck, that white man didn't know what to do. Oh, my God, there's so many of them. I mean, and this is how we know the media perpetuates and manipulates the people. Because here you have a live story that is hotter than sixth grade. You can't get no hotter than hundreds of people in the street, taken to the street, walking down the wrong way. I'm rolling down the wrong way. Well, I've been pushed down the wrong way of the street. I mean, but just love. I mean, the unity. Nobody left behind. Everybody stuck together in a group. Didn't care if you was black, didn't care if you was white, didn't care if you was Mexican, didn't care what you were. And that's what they're afraid of. They're like, oh, God, they're uniting the niggers and the white people. Oh, quick, beat another black man. And y'all know I don't have no sense on this show, no filter. But that's what they're thinking. I mean, that's the most thing that they're afraid of. I mean, but I had so many great, great, great memories. I mean, seeing, I'm always the crazy person in the family that nobody wants to invite to dinner. I'm always the crazy person that nobody wants to talk to because he's going to start talking about something else. He's going to start talking about Agenda 21. He's going to start calling the president a Sambo, a coon. He's going to start saying all kinds of stuff that people just aren't aware of. But during this trip, I mean, like-minded individuals, whether you were anarchists, whether you were a revolutionary,
whether you were a constitutionalist, whatever their issue was, we stood united. Unity. U-N-I-T-Y, that's what Queen Latifah used to say. Unity. I mean, D.C. was confused and all those one-way streets. I mean, you know, that was one. But, I mean, as we took to the march, I mean, just to see, as I say, as I'm trying to replay in my head, you know, everybody, I mean, this is something I've never seen. And this is something I think the world is afraid of. I mean, this, I'm trying to put it in words just to really break down just color. Because we're talking about a time when we are being manipulated. Every week we're seeing a white officer beat down a black man, shoot down an unarmed black kid, shoot down anybody. But, I mean, at a time where we're racially charged and, you know, the black people aren't trying to mess with the white people. The white people are afraid of the black people. It was no fear. I mean, if I could really take my pupils and you guys could see what I saw through my eyes, your mind would be changed. I mean, and as I tell my revolutionary comrades, I mean, we have to change the method. We have to unite. We don't have enough. And as I was, shout out to my homie who let me use his bullhorn. He knows his name. Shout out to my brother who let me use his bullhorn. And as I got on this bullhorn, I see them dozen cops, them dozen pigs. I mean, now as I was saying, they're black, they're white, they're Asian, they are multicolored. And guess what their common goal is? To beat us down, to do whatever they want to do, flash their badge, throw their weight around. The judges are multicolored. I mean, it's injustice from every side. So my thing was, as I shouted out and talked about the 14-year-old kid, Andrew Joseph, whose parents are still fighting for justice every single day. So if I have any comrades and any people that are on, please look on my page and look up Deanna and Andrew Joseph. They are great people. And really show those people some love and let them know, you know, they are the definition of revolutionary. Without a beret, without any of this, you know, they've been strong ever since. They was hit with a tragedy of their son being taken away by the cops in Tampa, Florida. And just really get to know that story as it was a 14-year-old kid, great kid. Wasn't no gangbanger. He wasn't in the wrong place at the wrong time, as the news love to say, well, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. No, this kid was at the fair, minding his business. He sees cops harassing some of his friends. Being a humble, great kid he was, he decided to say, hey, what's going on? And then the cops take him without notifying his parents. They just illegally take this kid from the fair, illegally eject him. Okay, they bring him to the police precinct, and without calling, he's 14 years old, keep in mind, without contacting his parents, without saying he's in trouble. They take this kid from out of the fair in Tampa, Florida, Hillsborough County, and they begin to degrade him. They begin to search his body, strip him down and search his body for gang tattoos, which he had none. He was no gang kid. He was a great kid, great, good grade, do right kid. So after they find this kid has no gang affiliation, they let him go. They literally let him go. So they let him go. He's trying to find his way home. He crosses across the interstate. Bam, he's hit and killed by a guy that never should have even been out on the street. So you tell me the justice in that. So if I said anybody that know, you know, listen to what I'm saying, stroll over to his parents' page, and I share their posts all the time. These are hard-fighting people. That was one of the reasons I was in D.C. Two, I can't stand Barack Obama. Three, I can't stand Louis Farrakhan. Four, I hate Steve Harvey. Mustache, you hate a lot of black people, don't you, folks? I mean, and it's not about color. I hate corruption. I actually hate the way Benny Hinn talks. If anybody knows Benny Hinn, he talks like Count Chocula. But, you know, I hate corruption. I hate that we have so many wealthy pastors. I hate that we have so many so-called leaders and injustice is going on. A 9-year-old kid is lured down an alley and murdered in Chicago. Where's the or else now, old slickhead Louis Farrakhan? Where's your or else now? And they said, well, you talking down to black leaders. They're not leading. Who are they leading? They're leading you down the wrong path. So as I was able to stand in with my allies from Anonymous, there was no leader. There was no, you know, standing around listening to one man give a Sunday sermon. There was, we're going to go to this spot. We're going to get on the cop's nerve right here and go to the next spot. You know, there's, I mean, it was so many great, great, great memories. I'm going to open up the lines and begin to let the people tell you that were there with me. But it was just beautiful. You didn't hear racial slurs being hurled. Now we did everything the Million Man March did. We came together. We assembled without nobody getting beat down and sent to jail. We were able to be civilized. You know, so, but it didn't get media coverage either because they know. And the Ku Klux Klan, they were mad. They have told who we are. And I love it. So that's why I always shout out to them before I even went to march with them, because I like what they stand for. They're actually doing something. They're not saying, or else, I'm your leader and you going to get my hair grease and part my hair down the middle. That's what Louis Farrakhan said. And y'all know I'm a clown. If you don't know it, you're new. I'm serious, but we have to have fun. You know, I'm a serious brother, but I also like to have fun because we can't get so gassed up. This stuff will make your head blow off if you get too caught up in this and get too serious. So we got to stop and smell the flowers. We got to stop and laugh. I mean, because it's a serious beast we're battling. I mean, as I always say, to me, the system itself is the beast. You know, the beast is technical. The beast is educated, articulate. The beast is multicolored. The beast is so many dimensions and have so many sides to them that we need everything and more to take down this beast. And I've already given my life and said I dedicate everything that I stand for to fight for this. If I got to sit in the middle of a wheelchair in the middle of traffic, damn it, I will do it because my freedom depends on it. And they say, well, you are free. Abraham Lincoln freed slaves. Oh, don't you say that. Stop it. I mean, it was just so much I learned. But as I just can't get from the people. I mean, one of the favorite parts was when they gathered around the homeless guy and they gave him money. 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 I didn't see anybody from the Million Man March that did it. They came, they heard their word, and they went home. I wasn't there, so I can't fully say, but from my view, they came, they heard their message, and they went home. They didn't take to the streets. They didn't hear the people's pain. They didn't walk. I mean, and the sad part from my point was, as we were in the street, and the people were yelling at us, get out of the street. Go home. Get a job. I mean, and they are clueless as to why we are marching. Why we are fighting. Damn it, we out there fighting to keep your kid from being injected with autism and vaccination. We're out there to tell you that you're eating genetically modified foods that might give you a tail. You know, we are out there. It takes guts. It takes boldness. Everybody's not cut out for this. And like I said, you know, we don't have a Veterans Day. We don't have a Memorial Day. We don't have a day for the fighters. We don't have a day for the revolutionaries. We don't have a day in the honor of truth seekers because they're afraid of truth seekers. They're afraid of what we stand for. They're afraid that we're going to shine our light on the people, and the people are going to get it, and the people are going to wake up. So I was just honored just to be there. Shout out to my boy Robert. Shout out to my boy Robert Nagy. You know, that was, you know, great friend, able to bond and really understand who this brother is and who he stands for. And they say, well, he white. You can't say he your brother. Yes, he is. But my brother is my brother who's fighting this war with me. My sister is my sister who's fighting this war with me, no matter what color he or she is. That's what I identify my brother is. I don't identify my brother in that Oval Office, who's misleading, who's busy signing laws to trick you, who's signed that old crooked blue alert to protect the police. Oh, but didn't he go to the jail and sit down with the prisoners? Now, that was a real man, Master Stoughton. You're being deceived. I'm going to open up because y'all know I can go, but it was just the beauty of it. And I want to see more. I want to see more. I want to see more of people of all getting together. We got to stop because we're in danger, people. We are in trouble, and the agenda is approaching fast. The agenda, the New World Order, is already here. You know, it's already here. They're just waiting to activate it. So we don't have a lot of time to bicker over, you know, if we are Moors, if we are 5%ers, if we are anarchists, if we are constitutionalists. We have to fight together. United we stand, divided they win. I'm going to slide to the line because I see my people, and I'm interested to hear what I, you know, to hear what I'm just interested. Carla, you are on the line. 860.
Hello.
Erico, 860.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, what's up, bro?
What's up, my man? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you good.
Okay, cool. Yeah, definitely just want to share some insight about the march real quick.
Okay.
I went out to the march in 2013, and, you know, it was cool, but this time it was different because I met a lot of people that I haven't met before, and I got a chance to come and meet y'all in the club that night. So seeing all, you know, even though it wasn't as big of a turnout as I would have expected it to be, it was good because it showed, like you said, it showed unity and it showed diversity at the same time. And when it was, you know, Hispanics was out there, Black, Latino, Asian, whatever, you know. So at the end of the day, like you said, it really doesn't have anything to do with color because we all bleed the same blood.
Yeah.
But, like,
you know,
we got to continue.
Go ahead, bro.
We gotta keep the movement going. Like, we can't just come out, have a good time, and then go home and get, you know, comfortable again. We got to be out of our comfort zone, like, on at least a daily basis, doing something of some sort to try to wake up other people, you know, whether it may be on you know, walking to somebody, saying something to somebody on the street, or trying to organize things in your local communities on a, you know, at least a monthly basis, try to have a group, like a group meeting somewhere somehow.
Yeah.
and continue to build that momentum. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, that's a lot of things that happen too, you know. These movements have a tendency to be strong, you know, everybody's fresh and they're charged, and then they kind of die down. And, you know, like you said, we have to keep the ball going. We have to keep that energy and that momentum flowing because it's a movement. You know, we can't get stagnant.
Yeah, it got to be further than Facebook. We can't just stay, you know. It's good to share information, however, on Facebook is very vital, but if it stays just on Facebook, then we're not going to make any progress. We're just going to be spinning the wheel.
That's true, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what, as I said, you know, at some point, we have to actually step from behind the keyboard. And yeah. I think you mentioned, like, the turnout. And I thought about that too, brother. I said, well, man, I thought it was going to be, you know, a lot bigger than it was. But also what that showed us was who's really real and who's really committed, because we had people that came from all over different states.
Exactly.
So the ones that wanted to be there, they made their way.
Yeah, me and my boy Dave came from CT. We came from CT. Shout out to Hartford real quick, A6O.
Shout out
to the world, you know. Shout out to the world. You know what's bugged out too? Not to cut you off before I lose my thought. They said it recently. There was like 800,000 people that gathered to celebrate the World Series, I believe. To celebrate the World Series. You know what I mean? And it's like, come on, man. We can't have that type of turnout, that type of passion for real shit, excuse my language, for real things that matter. Like, that baffles me. It's just, I'm perplexed by that. Almost a million for the World Series. What's that?
I said, yeah, that's almost a million people just for a baseball game.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of like one of the things, bro, that kind of like infuriates me is the fact of, as we call them, sheeple, because I'm not going to lay off of them until they really get it. You know, they will gather around for all of the idiotic things.
Right.
It's like I was saying, as we were in the street, it was the sheeple that we were out there trying to protect and let know what's up. That was hurling all kind of info toward us, and that's kind of like one of the discouraging parts that gets me and makes me kind of like tired sometimes.
Yeah, I feel you. I agree, definitely. And it's it's almost like an infantile type of behavior where, you know, and I'm not dissing anybody that likes sports, hey, to each his own. When you got your mind and you got things in perspective, you know, like sports are for kids. You know, the ball games on TV, everybody want to get hyped up. I saw another video where some dude got into another fight with another dude because he said something about the Red Sox and he didn't like what he said. So he beat the dude down over a comment he made about the baseball team. And I'm like, you serious? So, you know, trying to get people out of that mind frame.
Because, yeah, I've been guilty of that before I kind of woke up, because I was a big Laker fan. So before I woke up, if you even said anything about Kobe Bryant, Shaq, you know, if you said anything about these people, man, I was ready to fight, bro. I mean, because it gives you a sense of ownership and entitlement. Or we say, oh, well, we're going to win this year, or we're going to do it this year, when you're not included.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it's a systematic type of thing, not to get too off topic, but when the Coliseums were built back in the day, they were intended for the when the emperor would want to send the people away to be distracted, he sent them to the Coliseum to see the ball games or the barbarians fighting or whatever. So that became now what you see now. Like you said, you know, it's like a sense of belonging, and it's popular. Like even females now are into sports. Remember long back in the day, females never liked sports. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't like football, but now you see a lot of females that like sports and whatnot. And it was designed to keep people distracted. Like that book, George Orwell, he said that, he made that quote. He said that, he said gambling, sports, and something else would be the horizon. It'd take over their minds, he said. He said to keep them in control was not difficult.
Yeah. I mean, that's almost like, Adolf Hitler also. You know, if you're able to control the textbook, you know, you're able to control the people.
Exactly. Psychologically, it's like a psychological warfare where you can't see it. It's like a covert war.
Yeah. I mean, and it is that. I mean, and it's no such thing as getting off topic on this show, man, because it's like a gumbo. We're able to talk about everything because, like I was saying in the beginning, we have to let them know how technical this beast is. And I always equate, like I said, the beast is the system. So we always have to give a gumbo style of knowledge because we can't be too one-dimensional because the beast ain't one-dimensional.
Exactly. Exactly. No doubt. But yeah, it was a beautiful experience. And like I met so many cool people out there, man. It was amazing. Like, you know, Steve Grant. I met Steve Grant out there. PTT.
Yeah.
You know, so many dudes and just people that came together. The former police officer, what's his name, Ray Lewis. You know, he was out there. You know, for the movement, and I was like, wow, that was. I bet you that pissed off some people to see that. You know what I mean? So that's gold. Yeah.
But like you say, bro, that's what we have to have. We have to have more of that, man.
Yeah.
Definitely. Only way.
I appreciate you for your support, my brother. I hope you keep calling in, man.
No doubt, definitely, man.
Shout out to my boy right there. Shout out to him. He tapped on something crazy. He said 800,000 people gathered for a freaking baseball game. I mean, he said, and that's the thing that I still try to be as human as possible and say, well, I'll watch a game. I'll watch the Falcons get their head, but I'll watch, even though I'm a Carolina Panther fan, you know. I don't put so much of myself into the game like I used to because, like I told him, if you even used to say anything, my life centered around the Lakers. I would not go to any family functions. I would not do anything before I watched the Lakers game. And it was so bad, I would record the game. Think I'm lying, I have a bunch of archive tapes of the whole three-peat when they were winning championships. So I was so caught in that and clues to say, oh, we got 17 championships. No, I have none. They have 17 championships or 16. I have none. You know, so we get so caught up in that because it's that thing that we belong. So if 800,000 people can form for a World Series, we can't form for homelessness. We can't fall for these dirty cops that's doing whatever they want to do. Oh, no, well, I don't have time. I got to go to work. Yeah, you know, if you talk about the baseball game, that's something different. But we got to get better, people. But I'm going to keep sliding. Carla, you are on the line. Area code 308. Area code 308. Hey, caller. I hear you fidgeting around. Okay, well, we'll slide back your way. Caller, you're on the line. Area code 985.
How's it going, brother? Danny Hamilton.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. I was calling in. You know, I heard you was talking about what happened in D.C. on the 5th.
Oh, man. You got to talk about it, man. You got to talk about
it. Yeah, it was.
What was your
favorite? It was amazing. It's a great thing. You know, it's the third year we've done this, you know, and it's great to get out there and meet the people that's fighting just as hard as you are, you know, to help people and everything. It's a great gathering, and it's moving. You know, people are seeing what we're doing and see what we're all trying to change. And people, you know, are liking it. Just like you were just saying just a few minutes ago about the 100,000 people show up for this, but not for that. Well, because that's society. Society says this is cool to do, and society says that's wrong. So that's what people are going to fall with society, you know, likes.
Yeah, it's like I was saying, I mean, I always go back to, I think my favorite one was, of course, when we were gathered around the news truck. I think that's like what's going to be one of the most unforgettable ones. Definitely when the barricade was taken. I like that. That was cool. Definitely when they showed love to the homeless brother on the bench. You know, because one of the things that got me, man, was just to see, I always said, for us to have a so-called black president or for us to have any president, D.C. should be one of the spots that have no homelessness. I mean, and the amount of homelessness I saw in D.C. was mind-blowing.
Well, did you get outside the Beltway? Once you get outside that Beltway, it's even worse out there. You know, you're in that little community where all the, you know, all the politicians are. Once you get past that Beltway on the edges, it's lined up homeless people out there. You know, it's a serious issue. They just hide it. You know, they don't, you know, a couple here or there, but they hide it. It's a lot worse, you know, further away from the White House. But it's great. It's, you know, what we're doing, we're just expressing our First Amendment right. You know, there's nothing like going out there, you know, walking in traffic, peacefully protesting, and stop the traffic and letting people know why you are there. You know, people were watching. People saw us. Yeah, how many video, you know, people standing on the side had their video cameras out. You know, they showed millions of people. That spread it out. You know, that's the whole great thing about social media.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead, bro. Yeah, that's the great thing with Anonymous. You know, now we have a network where we can talk to each other. You know, before you could not, you know, just 8 years ago, you could not connect to so many people. Now with the social media, everybody has a platform. Everybody can see what other people are trying to do to change things. You know, and that's the great thing about being anonymous. Everybody's different. Everybody's got different talents, you know, different fights, but we all come together for the greater good. You know, at the end of the day, we come together, unity, and fight for the greater good.
So, personal question, like, what was the deciding moment with you that made you join the group, that made you say, enough is enough, I've had enough? What was that one thing, or what was that compilation of things that made you say, I had enough, I want to stand up and do something?
Well, for me, it was December 21st, 2013, I had my awakening. You know, I just, something came over me, you know, just like people, you know, you feel the Holy Ghost, but it wasn't the Holy Ghost. It was, you know, it was something else, and it opened my eyes, lifted a veil away from my eyes. And I could see all the corruption, you know, see all this bad stuff. Before, I was part of society. I didn't see it, you know. But I opened my eyes and saw how bad and how wrong everything is going. And that was 2013. That was the first March. I didn't know nothing. I just saw a couple of videos about Anonymous, and I liked what they was preaching. And the day before, on November 4th, I jumped on a train from New Orleans straight to D.C. It took me 24 hours, and I got out there in March, and I've been going every year since.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely, man, I appreciate your support.
Yeah, it's great. And just with y'all coming out here, you know, power to the people, and that's the thing. It doesn't matter what color, what race, what religion, let's come together for the greater good. Look at all the sorrow and the tyranny in this world, you know. It doesn't matter what race, color it is. We all feeling it. And it just makes me want to fight more and just educate. My fight is love and knowledge. You know, I'm a peaceful protester. You know, some people come out there thinking that day is going to be the revolution. They feel in their heart we're about to just take the streets and you know, some of them get upset. But you got to get upset. You got to have that, you know, golden, oh, then you sit back and learn from it. Okay. And that's why I go out there every year just to meet new people and just connect, you know. People like me. That was my first year going out there. I didn't know nothing. But I got out there and I'm like, whoa. All these people are just like me, you know, and that's the great thing about it.
There it is. We say it to you, my brother.
All right, well, thanks for letting me call in. Next rally, well, it ain't just one time a year. We do all kinds of, you know, Operation TPS. We got Operation Winter Homeless coming up, where we collect jackets and coats and socks, and you know, we go pass out to the homeless, and that's coming up soon. That's, you know, a big next operation.
And what's the name of that one again?
It's Operation Winter the Homeless.
Okay.
And that's one. It's a freshly just, but there's all kinds of other things we do. Feed the homeless. We you know, there's all kinds of different things, but we try to do it all on the same day to show unity. You know, we'll get on a site and there, you know, you have your march against Monsanto or your march against the bees. You know, there's all kinds of different fights. You know, whatever fight you like to fight, you know, what your fight is, you can find it anonymous. Yeah. And there's a group that's going to fight it with you.
Appreciate that, man.
All right, bud. Well, y'all have a good one. Thank you again.
Peace. Thank you.
Oh.
Operation Winter Homeless. That's the stuff that I like because us here at the Panthers for Justice, we're also trying to put together something for the homeless. Because, you know, as I always say, and I'm not going to drop too much knowledge on this. This is not a show. This is just a show to reflect. But as I always say, you know, we are so fortunate. So we as people might not have everything we want. You know, I might not have that date with Beyonce that, you know, that I used to want before I woke up. That's when I woke up and realized you can sleep. But, no, on a serious note, we have so much, and we are fortunate. But I cannot imagine, I mean, as I went from many places, I went to Tennessee, I mean, Atlanta, D.C., Carolina, wherever you go, the one common factor is homelessness. You know, so we have to stop being selfish as a people, and they are dividing us. They are dividing us with our imaginary color. Everything revolves around color. Bloods and Crips, red and blue. I'm bowling with my pot, boxing. Subaru. All this all crazy stuff. I mean, they have divided us with color from day one. I mean, any time we had great leaders like Brother Malcolm, Brother Martin, any time we had people, Honorable Marcus Garvey, you know, that wanted to unite people, definitely with the last two that wanted to unite people of all color, they were taken out. And they are using the media to shock our minds. That's why when me and my buddy were talking about the incident with the young sister that was snatched out of the desk by the officer, you know, I didn't make a response to that because, you know, I had mixed feelings. Was he wrong? 100% yes, he was wrong. But as I always say, we are reactionary. We just see something and we say, oh, I'm pissed off. Let's go to war. These white people are doing it. I mean, this is just, I'm not going to say it's an illusion because I know better. And I know that racism exists. I know if I'm in the wrong part of my state, I might not make it. You know, so I'm not that naive to go say since we met that racism is solved. But you don't fight it with more racism. You fight it with unity. You fight it together. You fight it by, you know, sharing knowledge, not saying, well, I know more than you, and I'm a 5%er. And, you know, I've always challenged people to say, let's start a school. And we would use, if you are more, you teach that subject. If you are a 5%er, you teach that subject. If you are atheist, you sit down and learn. No disrespect, but know how I am. If anybody, they'll get acquainted with how I speak on this show. But whatever your subject is, teach the people. But teach them the right way. Teach them with love. Teach them with truth. Teach them with compassion. You know, and if we do that, we'll get to a better state than we're in. I know that much. But I'm going to keep it rolling because I see the lines. I see the lines, and I'm really proud of the lines. Where will I go? I like this, too. Where will I go? I know where I'm going to go. I'll try this again. Caller, you are on the line.
Senior Riggins.
Yo.
How's it going, my man?
Hey, what's up, man?
I'm hearing all this talk about Anonymous. Who are they? I think I've heard of them once or twice.
Yeah, I think I heard something about them. Some group that always causes ruckus on the internet.
Well, it's nice to hear you on the show again.
Oh, yeah,
this year,
I'm back. You know, yeah.
This
like
year
said,
was amazing.
Oh, man, talk to me about it. What did you like about it?
Well, you know, this year, you know, when we marched this year, I've seen a lot of new young faces. And a lot of these new young faces I saw, you know, they just weren't there, in my opinion. I mean, it wasn't about, you know, trying to be part of a clique or trying to be part of something that they think's cool. Everyone I heard talking at the march this year, man, everyone had some, they were very educated. They were informed, and they knew exactly what they were talking about. Seeing everybody come together, I mean, man, we had people, man, from all over, from Texas, from Oklahoma,
yeah.
Connecticut, Ohio, the Carolinas, Tennessee, Georgia. It was people from everywhere, everywhere, and we all came down together. You know, we all spent a lot of good times. A lot of us met a lot of good people. That night at Parlay's, we met some good people, for, like you mentioned earlier, from the Black Panthers for self-defense. Man, just everybody
yeah.
came together. You know, kind of like you mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, there wasn't as big as a turnout as everyone expected this year. We still had we had probably, I'm guessing, around maybe 400. But the fact is most of the people that came in traveled from a very, very long distance. Louisiana, Alabama, we had people from Mississippi. People came from everywhere to stand up and just do what they believe is right. And that was probably something that I really, you know, that really is actually one of the things I enjoyed most. As we, you know, went through the march, as we went through the day, from all the different locations, from the Capitol building, the White House, Montesal, the EPA, Federal Reserve, probably one of my highlights of the trip is, you know, you and I, you know, a couple of us had a chance to talk to, we had a boy that walked up to us, probably 16, 17 years old, asking us what it's all about. And we had
yeah.
the opportunity to speak with him for a while, and he seemed like he wanted to absorb the knowledge. But I told him, I said, man, look all this stuff up. You know, do something for yourself. We had the chance to talk to some homeless people there that had been on the streets for a while. We had to talk to them.
Now you witnessed this with me. Only in D.C. where a woman is allowed can walk down the street with blood gushing out of her head, and nobody stop and say, are you okay?
Wasn't that amazing? Wasn't that amazing?
That was something.
there was a guy that walked up to us, asking us what it was about. And for a minute, I thought he was kind of being a heckler at the beginning, which I thought I was telling him okay. And as I'm talking to him, I look over his shoulder, and there's a woman walking down the street. She's got a gauze wrapped around her head, maybe twice, blood pouring down her face, blood all dripping off her hands, and everyone just walked past her. Like she wasn't even there. That's when the conversation stopped, and we're like, you know, are you okay? And actually, at that point, we're actually right in front of the hospital, so all of us that was in the group that we were in, we walked her over to the emergency room, and that was the last we saw of her. But it's amazing. You've got all these people in a downtown, a business district like that, on a Thursday night, and this lady, what would you say she was, her upper 60s maybe?
She had to be early 60s.
Nobody acknowledged her. You know, I mean, we did. Anyone else, I mean, they didn't. I didn't even see someone look over their shoulder when they walked past her. How do you not see that?
Nobody.
So, man, back to the trip in general, and, you know, with that, too, on the note, man, it was just amazing to see so many people come together in the group, so many people from different places. I mean, I know I've met a lot of great people. I can't even, you know, shout out all the names. What's sticking out to me is all the states, pretty much the East Coast and all the way out to the middle of the U.S. showed up to demonstrate and to stand up for what they believe in and unite with everybody. And like it was said with the earlier callers, I mean, we had everybody. We had whites. We had Hispanics, we had blacks, we had Asians. We had we were just totally mixed. Something else I want to bring up about this march, too, and that sister that was talking with the bullhorn, talking about, you know, these last few years, you know, we've had a peaceful march.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But you know, man, how long have we been demonstrating peacefully? Not just Anonymous. I'm talking about people standing up for just humanity and unity in general. Has it been years? Has it been 10 years? How many decades has it been? Does it go back to even before we were born? What, the '50s, '40s? What has really peaceful protest gotten us? It gets back to the same place. Have we really progressed past that? You know, what is it going to take? That's something I've been thinking about, you know, since this march. You know, it's like, you know, we were there. You know, we made our presence known. We made some people think. Maybe I'd like to think we opened some eyes, and maybe some people that we talk to are doing research right now as we speak. That would be great. But what did we really accomplish so far at this point, outside of making people aware, letting people know that other people are thinking possibly the same thing that you are? The only difference between us is we're actually standing up and we're walking the walk. We're not just talking the talk. We're walking that walk. So what is it going to take? When's that time going to be when everyone says, you know what, peaceful protest is only going to get us so far? But before we take that next step, we need more unity. We need more people awake. We need more people alert. And we need more people willing to put themselves out there because it's just the right thing to do. And I've seen a lot of people this year in D.C. that I believe is willing to do that. And that makes me happy. That lets me feel as if we are doing the right thing. We're going in the right direction.
Yeah.
We've got to do something.
There it is. I appreciate you, my guy. You know, always.
All right, brother. Well, I'm going to turn you loose. I'm sure you got a lot of calls. I know we met a lot of people from all over the United States. So I'm going to turn you loose. I don't want to take up all your airtime, but love you, man. Keep up the good work.
I love you, bro. Peace.
Yes, sir. Bye.
Out to my boy, Lord. Only time, you know, it's the camaraderie. Having a person willing to open up their house and say, oh, man, you can crash here so we can go to the street. Meeting a little intriguing sister that I met, as he talks about, the sister was on the bullhorn and said, this is my last year of peaceful protesting. I'm not coming back in peace. And she wasn't talking about being brawling and violent. But like you just said, what has this gotten us? You know, keep saying we shall overcome and kumbaya, they have gotten us nothing. At some point, we are going to have to send a legitimate message. But an intriguing lady that I met was a little short lady named Penny. And she was leading the charge, and she talked about her story of being beat down and brutalized by the police. But this sister, who was probably in her late 60s, if I want to guess, forgive me if I give her too many numbers. But I saw just so many people that stuck out in my head that just was like, wow. You know, this is what I envision, and I just got to figure out how to make it happen more often. But I'm gonna keep going because I do have a lot of people. Oh well, can I go? Oh, already been there. Oh, let's see. Call you on the line.
5 more minutes.
6, 6, 7, 8. Was it about to take one? Okay. Call you on the line. Area code 914.
All power to the people.
All power to the people.
You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, that's good. So I'm hearing a little feedback from your little trip down to D.C. And that was good, brother. I like to shout out to my brother Robert and all the other comrades, you know, that were down there, you know, doing the right thing. You know, I know a lot of people, man, are a little fearful of doing going against the government. It's rallying. Remember, man, a big heads up, man. What's up? I met one today, actually, in my town. we're doing a rally for the $15 wage. And
okay.
I met a guy from Atlanta, mass and everything. Took the 50 together. We talking about down in D.C. I don't know if he had went, but we were just talking briefly about what was happening, the causes that we fight for. You know, I mean, I fight on all fronts because all of it's important. You know, all of it's important. You know, one of the callers that spoke about people in the days, I think, they, well, that's what the TV and the music does. Keeps your brain washed. You know, keeps you not thinking about what really the issues are because you're busy watching, man, running soap operas, listening to the music. So, that you know, that distracts. And y'all talked about the games and stuff and the Roman time. It's the same thing. There was entertainment. Entertainment too for us, man, is why they do whatever they want to us. Nobody's paying attention. That's the problem. So, you know, I'm thankful for people like us, Anonymous, the Panthers for Justice, and other organizations, man, that, you know, right-minded, believe in solidarity. You can't fight racism with racism. You got to fight it with solidarity. That's the only way it's going to work. But it should be a no-brainer. I mean, I'd rather have somebody, man, that's willing to fight with me. I wouldn't care if he was polka dot. If he's willing to fight for me, I'm not going to look at the color of his skin. Look at the fact, man, that he's willing, man, to go toe-to-toe with him. You know, we got to understand, man, we got to stop looking at color. We got to look at, man, within a person's heart. You know, because color doesn't mean nothing. You got white devils, black devils, all races, man, fancy. You know, but luckily, brother, you know, we ran into some good people in Anonymous. I love them, man. You know, I felt good, man, seeing somebody in my hometown, you know, with the mask on. But,
okay.
I know you enjoyed yourself, brother, and I thank Robert, man, for bringing you down there with him. You know, I know it was a good experience. You know, I enjoyed, man, just what y'all was going through, you know, what you was posting, man. I was realizing, dang, I wish I was there. But I was there in spirit. So,
oh, yeah,
spirit, man. But, you and Robert, man, keeping us close to what's going on. And a lot of other people. You know, I got a lot of friends. So, that's the good thing. I'm not going to take too much of your time, brother, because I know you got a lot of calls now. But, you know, just keep doing the right thing, brother. Stay strong. And always remember, man, it's the power of the people to move down.
Power to the people. Shout out to our chairman, that's Brother Ishmael Shabazz. If you don't know him, you should get to know him. Great brother. I'm really feeling the vibes from the show. I'm not going to pop. I'm going to keep going because I see the numbers in queue.
I'm just going to slide to a note. Don't you say nothing, that's the folks.
Call you on the line, area code 301.
Right on. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
Right on. Just want to say great job this year, guys. Next year, let's be louder. Let's be bigger. The more people we bring to this protest, the more of a change that we can make. I'm thinking next year, want to know what everybody thinks. How about we go and camp and protest every day all the way up until election day on the 8th?
Hmm.
Sounds like fun to me.
Why not?
A lot of passion this year to fill it in all of you guys. A lot of you said this is a...
What was some of the highlights? I'm sorry, bro. Oh, go ahead, man. I was just going to ask you, what were some of your favorite highlights from the trip?
Some of the favorite highlights? Shit. There's a couple guys out there spray painting and stuff. They tagged the White House.
Oh, yeah.
And people still sharing them cameras. Like, stickers all over the cop cars. Just acts of random civil disobedience that harms no one. There's no victim. Is it really a crime?
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not going to take up any more of your time. You have a good one, brother.
No, you got the floor if you need something, man.
Yeah. I do have one other thing I want to say.
Oh, yeah, take
a I'm only charged for wearing the Guy Fawkes mask. Currently fighting this in court. My next court date is November 13th. So for motions to dismiss and motions to suppress, this is a felony charge, and I could use some protesters outside the courthouse. So anybody that believes that this law is a violation of our First Amendment, freedom of speech, let's see you out there in Fairfax County outside the courthouse November 13th. Trial, if it goes to the trial, will be on November 16th.
November 16th. Okay. Okay. Definitely will, man. You're always welcome on here, and you got the floor as long as you need it, and put the word out.
A lot of you said that this year was the last year of peaceful protesting. I'm sorry, but I have to agree with that. Like, it's here in America, we're not turning any heads, really. Like, Obama had a meeting in D.C. Did he care about us? Not at all.
Nope.
We're like a laughingstock to them.
I mean,
I'm glad
you're speaking on that, because that's what the people, you know, as we were marching through the street, and the people were telling us, calling us bombs and telling us to get jobs. They don't understand the severity of, you know, like I said, why we are doing what we are doing. We didn't just wake up and say, oh, let's go protest. You know, these are actual issues that they are blinded to. And we are the laughingstock. We are a joke. We are expendable to them, but they don't understand.
It's not that they don't understand. It's that they don't care.
Yeah.
Because their bank accounts are roaring. They're skyrocketing. Money is what empowers them, money and fear from their own people. And terrorism was originally defined as government through intimidation.
Yeah.
So they changed it. The Federal Reserve is a private corporation, and it controls all of us. They tell us that this piece of paper that we have in our wallet is more valuable than this other piece of paper that's sitting on the table.
That's true. When you look at the overall of it, it's kind of tough to, you know, break down. But it's kind of simple. It's not that tough. But something so obsolete and minute that has no value, yet it has so much power and so much control. It has people so blinded. And I was just honored just to be able to, you know, to be around like-minded individuals. I can't stress that enough, like-minded individuals, to let me know that, no, you're not crazy for talking about Agenda 21. No, you're not crazy for talking about Project Blue Beam. No, you're not crazy for talking about a lot of the things that I speak. Because sometimes, you know, they don't understand the life of a protester, a revolutionary, or what have you, however you want to break it down. They don't understand our fight, and sometimes it gets weary. But to see 400 to 500 people, no matter what their cause was, that understood the fight, that's what did my heart just.
I feel you on that. I mean, a lot of the times, like, I'll stop saying something to people, and I'll just stop talking about it and wait till something gets uncovered about it so that people don't call me crazy and they can take everything else I say as valid. For instance, we knew about this surveillance blimp that was monitoring the entire East Coast before it crashed. We didn't say anything about it because everybody that we told just looked at us like we were crazy.
Yeah.
We've seen it in Baltimore when we were protesting in Baltimore after the Freddie Gray killing. And now just recently it goes down. It crashed because it was unmanned and brought down a bunch of telephone wires and shit with it. And then the best part about it is they have cops shooting at it with shotguns trying to deflate it.
I appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you too, brother.
Thanks a lot.
Have a good night, guys.
Peace. My brother said he's fighting the case for wearing just simply wearing a mask. Simply wearing a mask, and he's going to be in Fairfax County November 16th if it goes to trial. I mean, and stuff like that, something as minute as a mask. So it has to be true to what comes out of these brothers and sisters' mouths because they're trying to stop it. You know, it's a threat just even affiliating yourself with it. And that's why I want my people to wake up, you know, as we talk a lot about the black community, white community, the Hispanic, you know, Hispanic, the, you know, the Asian, you know. It's not that you talk in circles, but it's just like, I think he hit it on the head and said they don't care. I mean, I catch the most stress is trying to wake my simple people around me up, the people around me, you know, the people in the, you know, and it's even tougher to walk up to a stranger and tell them these things. But like my boy spoke about the kid that we talked to in the street, and he was just so fascinated. He said, what are you guys protesting? As we began to talk to him about the various subjects, he stood there. So that's how you know you have a listening ear, because they continue to stand there and soak up the knowledge of what you're telling them. I mean, that kind of, you know, makes me keep fighting too, but we need to keep going. I mean, and we need to keep going. But I'm going to slide to more callers because I see more. Carla, you're on the line. 8008. Okay. Carla, you're on the line. Call drop. Okay. We're going to keep going. Carla, you are on the line.
My brother.
Hey, what's up, my guy?
Not much, not much. I have actually had a kitchen about to get ready and fix me something to eat. But it's been a great show, you know. It's listening to everybody's story. It's touching to see the actual unity that's coming about. I mean, not only from just different races, because it is a bigger fight than what a lot of people are seeing. You know, it's not about a particular race. It's about us uniting as people, because we're all on this earth together. You know, we all inhabit the same earth, the same planet. So it's our responsibility as earthlings, as they like to call us, to take care of our planet. And we see right now that that's not being done. I mean, I wish I could have been down in D.C. with y'all, according to, you know, but my circumstances didn't allow me to. But I was definitely in prayer about the whole situation, that everything turned out great. And I'm glad that it did, and I'm glad just to hear the stories, because it lets me know that people actually care, that it is people that are out there that not only talk about it, but they're actually doing something about it. And it motivated me to get off my behind and, you know, actually do something in my very own community. I mean, and if anybody's in the Jacksonville area, I'm holding a drive is bringing back love to Jacksonville, in Jacksonville, Florida. You know, it's just collecting goods and winter clothes for the homeless in the area, because times are harsh right now. I mean, for everybody. And this time, you know, we definitely got to start, it's really crunch time to start giving back and just start doing for our people, because, well, we got so-called elections coming up. But look at the jokes that, you know, that we have. Like, come on, who? Donald Trump and Ben Carson.
Well, see, now you're gonna get me started, and I was gonna try to lay off of this, but
we gotta go there though, because it's ridiculous. I mean, you have a dude he should have stuck with surgery. That's all I'm gonna say. He should have stayed in the hospital where he belonged. I mean, and Donald Trump should have stuck to wiping out rainforests and making golf courses, which sucks. Like, how can you really have that much money and think that wiping out the land is cool? Wiping out the stuff that helps us a little.
A rich man doesn't care. Okay, now, my side of the spectrum, I have to check the rule book and research, but I'm not sure if you can even impeach a man when he's running. But the simple fact of Ben Carson's wife singing the national anthem should disqualify him from even being a so-called American. Because, I mean, and that's one of the most alarming things to me on a serious note. That's one of the most alarming things that it's a joke.
Well,
bro.
when you really think about actual politics, I mean, how does Ben Carson qualify? What Senate seat has he held over a periodic time, you know? What public rules has he made? You know, what did he contribute to the community around him besides helping people inside a hospital? I understand, yes, he has blessed hands.
Yeah.
But
it takes a different kind of role
to want to be president of this world, of these United States, you know? Because you have to think outside of this country.
I mean, you look at each and every one of them, you know, first of all, I don't believe anybody has the intelligence to control the world or run the world, but definitely with this kick that we have, that's like I said, that's what terrifies me. And I've went on record a lot of times and said, I don't think we're going to get another president. I've said I think something so catastrophic is going to happen around election time, and it's going to force it into a dictatorship, and Barack Obama never leaves office. Now, that's just my personal opinion. But when I see Donald Trump in that old terrible wig on top of his head, that further lets me know that that's a possible scenario. And when I hear Ben Carson...
I'm laughing because it's funny because, like, really, that's the Republican Party that supposedly is going to take over because Obama's a Democrat, so, you know, they're tired of the Democrats being in office. So it's time for a Republican to take over, and the top choices right now are Donald Trump and Ben Carson. Not even Jeb can get a push.
No, I mean, you just pressed on another one. If you have a Bush, and that Bush is no good.
I know, right? I mean, you talk about it in the elite Bush, like he's part of the bloodline, and he can't even. Come on, man.
He said he wants to quit.
Like he was mayor of Florida for how long, and he can't even. Come
oh God!
I know he
can't
not. I know he not the scapegoat of the family.
You know, he's the black sheep. He's white, but he's the black sheep of the family. He's the one
apparently
that's gonna bring the Bush family shame.
Apparently so, because he did a horrible job in Florida.
So I mean, it's funny that we can even laugh because that means we understand it. But,
it's
such a joke.
Time.
It's sad.
It's hard to even think that there's a such thing as an election going on or capable of happening next year with the joke that, like, I'm sorry, I never voted a day in my life. I mean, since I became of age because I never believed in it because I always thought politics was a joke. Even though I was in the military for 7 years, still never voted. I mean, it was just a job to me. But it's hard to take it serious when you're able to make the news off of a joke by these nuts.
Yeah.
But
I think that kind of started the foolishness.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, how serious can you take it, in all honesty? When you have situations like that where you're talking about people's lives, you're not talking about, you know, little toys, Monopoly money. You're actually talking about living and breathing human beings. And I think that's the problem with the world is that we've grown so accustomed and grown so desensitized to life itself that it's taken for granted. Just the essence of breathing is taken for granted. I mean, if you can walk up and kill somebody, how is that possible? How can you think that that's the way we're supposed to live? I mean, for one, we need a spiritual awakening, and it starts with unconditional love from within.
I mean, you know, and that's one of the things that you and I talk, but that's one of the things I kind of drive home constantly.
Yep.
You know, as much as we are in a battle, we are also in a spiritual battle. And can't get, you know, we can't drop that shield. And, you know,
yeah,
a lot of times when you get a lot of revolutionary brothers and sisters, or you get a lot of so-called militant brothers and sisters or whatever, and they find out a lot of the truths about religion and a lot of the deities that were created, they kind of denounce all forms of spirituality and religion and everything, and they kind of go out there naked. And this is one of the things I'm saying we can't do. We can't afford to drop our prayer life. We can't afford. We need all the prayer we get if Donald Trump get in office. We need all the prayer we get.
Oh, man, you're going to need more than prayer. You're going to need prayer and some guns.
You're right. Seriously, his wife singing is the worst thing I ever heard. And I've heard by far some bad singers, but that was just awful. She did
what?
Worse. If anybody has ever seen Carl Lewis sing the national anthem, she did worse than Carl Lewis.
Yeah, that was bad right there. But you're right about the spiritual, you know, the spiritual aspect of it. People definitely got to start realizing that we have to take it serious. I mean, once you start the journey and you have that burning desire, it's that discernment that's going to keep you going. It's that understanding of the reason that once you look into history, especially our history, you'll see that, yeah, the Bible is tainted, but also if you understand the Creator and why it was the message within the Bible that need to be seen, then you'll see exactly why, you know, we need to unite as one. That's the only way a real revolution is going to happen. Like, you can't get out here just all as black people and fight. Who are we going to fight? That's not going to... Yeah, we can fight white people all day, but that's not going to change anything. That's just going to have a bunch of dead black people and a bunch of dead white people.
Pretty much. I always appreciate you, my guy. I mean, you bring me
always, my brother. It's always a pleasure, and I love every last one of y'all, and I pray y'all have a blessed night.
Much love, my guy. Shout out to my boy Jay, man. I mean, I personally challenge everybody to YouTube Ben Carson White. I dare you not to run for cover. I dare you. I mean, see what that nonsense is. What is this? I don't even claim America, but that makes me, if I was, I would be ashamed to be American. What is happening here? I gotta keep going because trying to figure it out, not it. Caller, you on the line.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's happening, my brother?
Oh, man, I am enjoying the show, man. You got a lot of interesting people calling in. And your boy, Jay, man, he is funny, man.
I mean, you got to check out Ben Carson's wife. This is the tragedy of the 50s.
I might have to check it out as soon as I get off the line on this call, man. I might just have to go check it out. But I would like to go see how the thing is ran next year, whatever they have another march. I would like to join you in that. That sounds like it would be interesting, you know what I mean?
Oh, man, that was beautiful.
Yeah, that was like a good thing y'all was telling, you know what I'm saying? That, oh, man, it was like I could see everything was happening as everybody was giving their story, you know what I mean? It was like, dang, I wish I would have been there. You know, so I'm glad you got a chance to experience that. And shout out to Robert, man. That's a good dude, man. I love Robert. You know what I mean? That's a really good dude. So, yeah. But I would like to get more information about, you know, Anonymous. I check out certain things on YouTube, but, you know, I need more information. You know, we always talking about information and stuff like that. I'm still waiting for you to send me more information in the text message, you know what I'm saying? You know, I don't buy research. I'm going to put you on blast now. I need more things to research. I'm glad you were out there enjoying yourself. So I want to attend the next time y'all go. So I'm up for it.
Oh, man, that was beautiful, man. And, yeah. I, like I was saying, man, I think just because we are in a wake of time where I got to keep repeating it. White cop, black victim. White cop, black victim. No matter if it's a young or a woman, you know, whether it was Sandra Bland, whether it was Eric Garner, whether it was Mike Brown, whether it was a lot. I mean, but also as I spoke about the kid, Zachary Hammond, this is a white kid that was supposedly using his car as a weapon against the police, and they shot him in a marijuana drugs thing. So as I try to drive back, and I can't deal with the hateful people that say, well, they're feeling what we felt. No, nobody ever could feel, should feel that type of pain to have their child ripped from them because of a trigger-happy cop. One of the highlights for me that I didn't even, it just popped in my head, was to stand toe-to-toe with the cops and look them in their eye and tell them how dirty and foul they are. You know, even, you know, if they are decent cops, you know, I feel like they're in their brotherhood. So, I mean, it was a lot of personal highlights for me, but the thing is, man, we have to get up off that closed-mindedness of all-black unit because we're not going to make it like that. We need everything and more. But it was a beautiful thing. If you can make it next year, you would love it. Yeah, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I got to tell it next year, you know what I'm saying? For that, you got to keep me poking on that. And your boy, Jay, I understand. I mean, me and you talked about this a lot. And we were saying that we all share this land on God's green earth. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's no one, I mean, it's not such a thing as superior. You know what I mean? Superior to, you know what I'm saying? We all share this land. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody better than nobody. We all got blood and bones. And there's nobody immoral, or however you want to put that. It's nobody greater than anybody. You know what I'm saying? We all put our pants on the same way, our socks and shoes on. We all sit down and crap like, you know what I'm saying? We all do the same thing. Yeah. So, you know, it just absurd that just someone think that they're better than somebody, even in the White House, you know what I'm saying? And it's funny that they're playing games with all of our lives, you know what I'm saying? They don't care nothing about us. And Michael Jackson said it a long time ago. And did nobody understood what Michael Jackson was saying when he said they don't care about us. And he meaning like government, politicians, stuff like that. That's what he meant. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People in high places. You know what I'm saying? It's 20 odd people that actually runs the world. 27 people that runs the world. And they dictate what goes on in society. You know what I'm saying? And so that's a problem. You know? But, yeah, did nobody understood what Michael Jackson was talking about. And Michael Jackson was very smart. And for those who didn't know, I know. Say it again.
That's one of the things that we're able to listen at Wesley Snipes. As he talked about Michael Jackson's conscious level. He said Michael Jackson had one of the strongest conscious levels. And so, you know, so many times that's why, you know, I respect Cat Williams because he had to understand, touch that fire, that it's hot, that, you know, societies like the Illuminati, you know, when they attacked him, he kind of felt the backlash from when he did a comedy show and he antagonized and criticized Michael Jackson, calling him a child molester, which I never believed in my soul. And that's kind of like the backlash you get when you stand up and say they don't care about us. And when you do it on a grand stage like Michael Jackson did it, and the world didn't realize the type of legend that they lost. You know, so it's really understanding what it takes to stand up and speak to that 1%. 1%. We are 99% being bullied by 1%.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen?
Man, I can't even tell you. Also, I can't put him on the level as Michael Jackson, but as another deep brother that also seen he is no longer with us, Curtis Mayfield. is a very deep brother. And what those two have in common, and Prince is also a deep brother too. You know what I'm saying? And all three of these people have one thing in common, and I advise you to do your research on them and see what all three people got in common as far as spirituality. And if anybody know what it is, y'all can hit me up in my inbox on Facebook. And you do your research and see what they have in spirituality. What have they learned in their spirituality? What did they learn over the years? So Michael Jackson, I give you a hint too. When Michael Jackson was a child, and his mother and father, what did they attend? So when you find that out, you get back at it. Huh?
Okay. You said repeat that question?
I said, Michael Jackson, when he was a child growing up, what did his mother and father introduce him to as his spirituality? And then look up Curtis Mayfield and see what he studied along with three. And then you all get back at me.
I think I know the answer already, but
yeah, and then what I'm telling you, you could go on the website and you could do also some more research and see how deep that these brothers are also. You know what I'm saying? And then you will understand Michael Jackson's mindset. Because he also did a lot of research. He also did a lot of studying. You know what I'm saying? And when he did Thriller, it brought his conscious mind because that was something that he didn't believe in, but he went on and did it anyway. You know what I'm talking about? So once you dog gonna get back at me, so you already know who it is, so now you got two more people to look up and see where it is that they had studied over the years.
I think I got it, and I'll give you the answer when we get off.
All right. For anybody else that's listening, you can look me up on Eddie Belafonte on Facebook, and you can give me your insight about what have you discovered, and we'll see if we come to some agreement.
Believe it. And you just smoked yourself, Cat Daddy.
I do it.
I said, go ahead and promote yourself, Cat Daddy.
I just want to see you. Anybody know where I'm coming from and where I'm going with it.
Please.
Because these are the most three deepest people that I know, far as Michael Jackson saying that, you know, they don't care about us. And then along with Curtis Mayfield and Prince, they all have, these three individuals have something in common. So, and I appreciate you allowing me to speak. Yeah, I appreciate you, man. I'm glad you let me come on and speak my mind, and I'm glad that you enjoyed yourself and you learned something and you got hooked up with some more other people, too. So I appreciate it, and God bless everybody online.
God bless you. Shout out to my boy, Eddie Belafonte. Eddie Belafonte, look him up on his Facebook. Look him up on his Instagram. And answer a question. I know the answer, and I'm going to give him his answer as soon as we get off. But it's about time to get out of here.
Oh, that was bad enough, folks.
But no, seriously, on a serious note, I witnessed love. I witnessed truth. As I said, true, I remember posting, and I hope these people who come in are listening. I remember posting, truth has no color. And somebody said, yeah, right. And my other person said, well, the damn show ain't white. Okay, we got to understand that, first of all, read a book, Behold They Pay a Horse. You know, and understand, as my boy E say, what these people have in common. A brother that was putting out a film called Gray State. Him and his family, his wife and his daughter was killed because they were exposing the New World Order. And it was, they put the quote fingers up before we get out, suicide. So, okay, now this is a white family. Behold a Pale Horse is a white guy. William Cooper. Okay. Malcolm X. Steve Coakley. Steve Biko. all of these guys, multicolored, and I'm sure different ones. Muammar Gaddafi, truth has no color. They don't care what color you are. We the only ones fickle and closed-minded enough to keep saying, oh, the white man got everything. He got everything because we allowed him to get everything. He got everything because all we do is sit up here and say and scream black power without empowering ourselves. All we do is sit around and talk when it comes time to stand up and hit the street, or you hear those crickets chirping. Truth has no color. Where's William Cooper? Dead. Where's this brother that filmed this film Gray State? Dead. Where's Malcolm? Dead. Where's Steve Biko? Dead. Where's anybody who has ever tried to warn you, even down to Tupac Shakur, that West, East Coast, West Coast for the 8 billion times? Dead. Truth has no color. Martin Luther King? Dead. Truth has no color, and as soon as we recognize that and take the blinders off and say, I'm going to fight with you no matter what. You didn't enslave me. We should have a discernment and something within us to let us know if a person, whether he's Asian, whether he's Puerto Rican, whether he's white, whether he's black, if they're not right, we should have a discernment to say, hey, something wrong with him. Or this is an all right brother and sister. I'm walking with him. Long as we close our minds, we can't open up and receive the truth. So until the next time, guess what? I'm out. It's a new world order. I'm going to take you out with a little Outkast.
I came into this world high as a bird. From secondhand cocaine powder, I know it sounds absurd. I never tooted, but it's in my veins. While the rest of the country bunches off ridges without no snapback and bitches. They say they need that to shake their fannies in the ass club. They go the other route, turn each other out, burn each other out. Where a bonafide nigga like me can't even get no back rub these days. Ain't that bleak on they part? But let me hold it down, cause they shut you down when you speak from your heart. Now that's hard. While we ranting and raving about gas, nigga, they made them gas. They got some shit that'll blow out our back from where they stay at.